May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen. Amen. On this second Sunday of Easter, 8 days later, we are reminded in this morning's Gospel of where the expression doubting Thomas comes from. While some of the disciples have met the risen Christ, Thomas has not. And he struggles to believe the resurrection truth through the testimony of other disciples. Instead, he strongly states, as we've heard, that unless he sees the mark of the nails in his hands, puts his hand in those nail marks, his fist into his side, he will not believe, because for him, seeing is believing. Just imagine that scene. They must have been difficult days for Thomas, days when so many around him had had an experience that was leading them to an understanding that Jesus was alive. But he was clearly not going to get it. Yet, notice, he was still among them. He still met in their fellowship and was part of them. He stuck with it. And then, while still working through the questions of his understanding and seeking faith, he didn't just go off in a huff and say, oh, that's enough for me. He stuck with them, stayed with them, despite his questions. And it is a week later, we're told, when Jesus does actually stand among them in a locked room with Thomas present this time, and inviting Thomas to actually touch his wounds as if he heard those words of doubt during the previous days. And notice those first words of Jesus, "Peace be with you." Notice that he didn't say, "Oh, fine friends you turned out to be." He didn't say, "Oh, where were you when I needed you?" He didn't say, "How come you're doubting, Thomas?" No, not a word of complaint or criticism, not a word of disappointment or blame, but simply and deeply words of peace. "Peace be with you." Words we echo day by day, words we echo Sunday by Sunday, words of deep understanding, comfort and reassurance. Now, we don't know what actually happened then. We don't know whether Thomas did actually do as he was asked, to touch the wounds. Actually, that's not important, is it? What is important is his response to that experience of the risen Lord and those words of peace when he said, "My Lord and my God." Such a statement of faith. And life was never going to be the same for Thomas, or indeed the others. But it took courage, I think, for Thomas to ask. It took perseverance to keep going, even in doubt and unbelief. And eventually, everything became clear. "My Lord and my God." And such a statement of faith then led to Jesus' response, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now that's you and me. And from his example, we can know that it is okay to doubt. Or I would rather say question. To question tenets of our faith and practice. But we need to do the work. We need to stick with it. We need to go deeper. We need to seek explanation, to relate faith to actual experience. For in so doing, with others in study groups or in our personal devotions or in coming together in sharing in the Eucharist, in all this whole process, we can work out for ourselves what is most important to discipleship, what is most important to being a witness for Christ in our own day, and perhaps what is no longer so important and not so relevant. And it's a good process. It's right and proper to do that. Let me finish this sermon, and indeed my last Sunday with you this morning, with a story. It's about an ordinand just about to be ordained, told to me and my fellow ordinands just before I was ordained 34 years ago in Winchester Cathedral, and has been of great importance to me ever since. As you may know, in the 3 days leading up to an ordination, the candidates who've been studying all over the place for the last 3 or 4 years, and indeed maybe have been searching God's will for some years even before that, the candidates go on retreat together with their ordaining bishop. Whilst on retreat, each candidate has an interview with the bishop. And on this particular occasion, the candidate confessed to the bishop that he could no longer proceed to ordination. Pressed by the bishop for an explanation, because the ordinand had gone through all the selection processes and had done well in his 3 years of training, and the bishop was looking forward to ordaining him and having him in the diocese, the ordinand confessed that he was doubting some of the statements in the creed, and so he felt that he couldn't be ordained. The bishop calmly and wisely responded, "Okay, start saying the creed out loud and stop when you get to the problem." And so the ordinand started. "I believe in God, the..." That's fine," the bishop said. "That's great. You believe in God. That's the most important thing, that otherness, something beyond ourselves, that power of good. And I shall be pleased to ordain you," the bishop said, "so that you can then explore what that belief in God actually means for yourself and for your parishioners in the years to come." And so he went ahead and was ordained and eventually became a bishop. It's okay to doubt. Being a doubting Thomas isn't a sign of weakness or lack of faith, provided the doubting leads to working through those doubts, sorting out what is important and what isn't to one's faith and discipleship. That's why I prefer the title Questioning Thomas. Thomas, who stuck with the group through his questions and eventually had such an experience that led to that great statement of faith, "My Lord and my God," which in turn leads to a response from the risen Lord directed to you and me, "Blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, and yet believed." Don't let doubts get in the way of securing your basic faith in God, as revealed to us by his Son. Don't allow tenets of doctrine, though, or passing fads of the church, throw you off balance from that basic faith that you have, that stood the test of time within you. And do allow the questions as you seek to enter more deeply into a relationship with God, casting aside those props that aren't so important anymore to you, and securing those elements of faith and practice that are becoming cornerstones. And may I wish each one of you a deep sense of God's peace in your respective journeys of faith, just as the risen Lord said on so many occasions on those days of Easter, "Peace be with you." And may I also wish you all joy in your believing and in your journeying together here at St. Ursula's as you start a new and exciting chapter together. May God bless you both and bless you all. Thanks be to God. Amen.